to C3 Pathers. We're so glad you jumped on to our YouTube channel. We really believe that you'll have life. Jesus said life in all of its fullness will be yours. And that means you'll be loved, included, free, and equipped. So enjoy this message and we'll catch you afterwards. God bless.
That was good. Oh, good. Have you ever been in trouble? Who gets you into trouble the most? Yourself. I find myself in car parks. I don't know why, but I continually drive up the wrong way, the illegal way. And I, Bro doesn't like it. And she says, what are you doing? What can't you see the arrows? I was coming out of another car park at school and they've rearranged the directions. So I don't know. I don't know which way I'm supposed to go. So I just end up going out the wrong way and continually, I'm not intending to go the wrong way, but I just end up going the wrong way. Actually, Mr. Abel, I followed you out the wrong way yesterday. That's what led me astray. But do you find there's little things in life where you just, oh, I've done it again. I've gone the wrong way, but I don't even know how to do it properly. And it's funny. We have a laugh about it, but there are more serious things to get into trouble about, of course. Jesus was continually in trouble. Did you know that? He was always under scrutiny. Felt like me driving, you know, which way am I going to go out the right way? There were all these people who would watch Jesus to see if he drove out the wrong way of the car park, do the wrong thing. And these were the, I guess, the religious police, equivalent to someone sitting in your seat in the car. or even worse, a navigation thing, you know, like a GPS thing that says rerouting, you've done it again. They're very polite, those things. They always just say, oh, okay, we'll try again. Anyway, Jesus was continually, how do I recover from this? He was continually under the watch of the religious police. Sounds funny. And then he was forever doing the wrong thing, and the wrong thing to these sort of religious rulers were things like eating with people who had a bad reputation or hanging out with the wrong crowd or finding himself talking to the wrong person at the wrong time. Like he was alone with a woman at midday with no one else was around, and his disciples came back and said, what were you doing talking to a woman? The sort of things that a holy man shouldn't do. Or he'd mix with, he'd have dinners and parties with all these people that the kind of more correct religious people would say, don't you know who those people are? And so the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are full of these stories, and it's quite humorous, except, you know, there's an edge to it where you think they've lost something here. And in Luke 15, which is what I'm going to preach on today, it's like Jesus says, enough. Let me explain it to you. And right at the beginning of this, right at Luke 15, 1, is the context of the passage I want to look at. Right? It's important to understand where the scriptures come from. He says, now the tax collectors and sinners, right? These are all the outcasts of society. Tax collectors were people they were Jews, but they'd work on behalf of the Romans to collect all the taxes for the Jews. And they'd often slip a bit themselves, you know, as they come along. Tax collectors and sinners, they were the people who'd just missed the mark. They'd lost track. They just couldn't do the right thing all the time. So the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious police essentially, grumbled. This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. See that? There's the context. These people are grumbling at the company he's keeping. So he looks up. I got a story for you, he says. And he tells in Luke 15, there's three passages, three lost things. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And they all say similar things. And I'm going to jump to the third story in this passage, the lost son or the prodigal son. Some of you might know that as. I want to just read you this story, this account, and come back and drill down on a few things. It's an amazing story, But I want you to see it with fresh eyes this morning. He said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. Now listen to this. This is a shocking story. Picture a man, a wealthy estate with two sons. Picture a younger son coming up to dad and saying, Dad, I want to check out. I want you to sell your property. I want the half now, and I'm out of here. Now, if I was dad, no son, but this dad gives his kids freedom. It's interesting, isn't it? Like dad says, well, it's going to be yours eventually. You may as well have it now. He probably sold half of his land, gave him the check, or F-post it, or electronic something, you know. But here it is. Here it is. Not many days later, younger son gathered all he had. See you, Dad. Thanks for the life. I'm off to a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living, wasted an inheritance, gone. Now, it's a shocking story. But guess who Jesus is talking to? He's talking to the Pharisees and the religious people, saying the people who I'm mixing with are like the people who have taken their possessions and wasted it. But actually, deeper than that, it's a picture of humanity. It's a picture of you and I and a disconnect that we have from our Heavenly Father, the one who created us and blessed us with all things. It's like we gather all we had, like all the blessings of the Father. You think of everything that God gives everybody, like creation. Rosemary talks about a sunrise. The world, the planet is beautiful, amazing thing. But we take that from our Father and then use it for our own good and squander it. All the wisdom of heaven, we take that. All the strength and all the wealth, these gifts that God has for us, his people, all people, and we waste it and we get rid of it. You see, we want the blessings gathered to ourselves, but we don't want the connection with the Father. It's like, see you. Thanks, this is awesome world. I'm off. It's such a picture of our world today, isn't it? We don't want to be bothered with God, but we want the blessings. We want all the resources and the faculties and the relationships and the things that he gives every single person. But we don't want to connect. We just want the stuff. Does that make sense? But what do we do with the stuff? To worship of what we've got, we're actually turning our world into an idol. Wisdom outside of God becomes empty humanism. You know, human wisdom that sort of is disconnected from God is actually a bit empty. Strength outside of God becomes hurtful pride. Wealth outside of God becomes selfish hoarding. It's gaining for ourselves. All these things that God has blessed us with, we're kind of disconnected from God. That's what this lost son did. He didn't want the relationship. He wanted the stuff. And he wasted it. Part two. This is four parts. All right. Part two is the reality kicks in. Back to the story. When he had spent everything. mean, just think about that for a moment. Half a property. I don't know how much that would be worth. Millions of dollars. Spent everything. A severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. There's a great understatement. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. You've got to understand that this man has come from a rich inheritance. He's had everything. He's had servants. We know that. He's had a wealthy upbringing. And now, not only is all of that gone, he finds himself having to beg for food. He's in the lowest of the lowest jobs. Jesus is talking to a Jewish audience, so even the thought of feeding pigs or being around pigs is offensive. So Jesus paints this story, you see that? So now he's feeding pigs, and no one's even giving him the food that the pigs are eating. He's reached rock bottom. Now Jesus is saying, these people that I mix with, they're the people I've come to mix with, I've come to help. The people who have reached rock bottom. It's kind of like, that's why I'm hanging with tax collectors and the singers. But for us today, I wonder when our culture, our world will have reached rock bottom. I wonder when we've spent everything, spent our inheritance and all the blessings of God, and we end up in a space, spiritual, emotional, physical bankruptcy. I wonder when we'll get to that point where we're realizing, wow, I'm hungry. When we've thrown every good and perfect gift away but now realize its worth. When we've disregarded all the blessings of God and now, oh, that's right. It wasn't so bad after all. And now I'm in the lowest of the lowest jobs. And we're going to hire ourselves out as a culture, as people. Like in desperation, we try anything to survive, don't we? It might not just be physical. It might be emotional. It might be spiritual bankruptcy. It might be just that sense of reaching a low point in our life. And we grab hold of any solution just to survive. And you see that a bit in our world right now. You see lots of people grabbing at ideas, different religious belief systems, different thought systems, different ideas, just to try and feed ourselves some way. Different connections with different people. And maybe it's travel. Travel's open up again. So maybe I've just got to go and visit Bali. Maybe that'll sort it out. Maybe I need to go and do a spiritual retreat in India and sit on a Tibetan mountain or something. Maybe I've got to, you see, we hire ourselves out as a culture. Maybe it's about jumping on, you know, a bandwagon of politics or trying to redefine our culture. We're grabbing at things just in order to survive. But part three is the turning. Part three is this phrase that I'm going to park on for a little bit. But when he came to himself. Verse 17, when he came to himself, some translations have it, when he came to his senses. It's like when he woke up. Have you been there? Have you been at that point where you go, what am I doing? What? Hang on. Why am I sitting here? Why am I chasing these things? Ever realized just waking up one morning and going, I'm an idiot. Several times. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But here I perish with hunger. He's thinking of home. He's thinking of his father. He's thinking of his context. He's thinking even his father's servants, the people who are paid to look after him, have food. He says, I've got a plan. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. It's a plan. It's a plan. You see, he's reached that point where the pigs aren't helping him, no one's helping him, but surely, surely my Father will help me. Surely I'll come to a place and I'm happy just to be a servant. I'm happy just to be in his household, have some connection, and I don't mind if I'm just a servant for the rest of my life because I know that I've done wrong. I've squandered it all. I wonder if that's where some people are at in our world today. When they came to themselves, when they've tried everything else, when we've come out of lockdowns and full of anxieties and full of pressure, we're trying to readjust the world and we're trying to live life and the world is rapidly changing right now, isn't it? So many shifts, so many economic challenges, so many workplace challenges. My goodness, staffing shortages. Like the whole world seems chaotic right now. Don't you think in the middle of this, people go, wow, what am I doing here? There's someone far greater that can help me here. Why am I trying to invent ways of helping myself and hiring myself out to feed pigs when my Father's house has abundance? I wonder if people will say, I will arise and go. I wonder if people would say, I'm sorry. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Would you take me in? Can I have a little reconnection with you, God? I'll be religious. I'll do whatever you want me to do. People pray that. If you just get me out of this trouble, I'll do anything. And what they picture is I'll be in some religious institution or send me to India or Africa. I don't, as long as you get me out of this, all right? So we picture ourselves as just sort of still in limitation. But at least it's not that, right? But then the unexpected happens. There's a twist. I love the parables, they're full of twists. Jesus is a great storyteller. So he arose, verse 20, he arose and came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Wow. Jesus is saying to this audience, the original audience, these people who are at the lowest that I hang out with, that's how my father views them. See that? He's explaining to these people, you've got to understand the heart of my Father towards all people. You've got to understand that this is how he views every single person. Look at this verse 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 actions. I think they're called verbs, right? While he was still a long way off, obviously his father was looking for him. He saw him. His father saw him coming. His father felt compassion. That's the first thing. Saw him, not, ah, oh, here he comes. Ah, oh, wait till I deal with you. Oh, I'm going to tell you why it's so bad what you've done. I'm going to tell you why we've been suffering living off half of our land. I'm going to give it, I'm going to tell you. None of that. Isn't this amazing? Felt compassion. My son. Nothing else matters. My son is coming. I can see him come up the road. Not only does he see him, look at this. He ran. Middle Eastern gentlemen of this era don't run. He ran. He undignified. Ran down the road. Oh, everyone's looking for him. What's he doing? Ah, his son. We've heard about him. And you can just, this is collision, like a slow motion in a movie, right? Embraced him. what is it like to be embraced by a father who is completely for you? Total, not sort of, huh? Well, we got some things to talk about. It's good to see you, but you know, we got to deal with this. Nothing. The embrace of a father is nothing like the embrace of a loving father. Kissed him. Now that's a cultural, you know, absolute affection, absolute joy at the return. And the son goes, oh, he said, Father, I've sinned. He's rehearsed it, you see. I've sinned before heaven against you, but I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father's not listening. He doesn't respond. He says, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to party, celebrate. Let's change that. They had a party. They had a welcome home party. They celebrated because the father had such compassion, such love, such life. Now, if you know the story, the older brother gets his nose out of joint and complains. We won't go there today. It's an interesting part of the story. But the older brother is actually targeted at the Jews, the religious police, who have their nose out of joint because all these people are hanging around Jesus, right? That's the kind of point of the story. But let's think about what that looks like today. The father right now is on the lookout for lost people. He is. His eyes are roaming the world looking for people who are ready to respond. And he responds to anyone who comes to their senses. And it doesn't put them into a religious straitjacket and tell them what to do. He embraces them, reassures them of his love for them. Today, God sees people. He feels compassion towards people. He runs towards people. He embraces people. He kisses people. All people he loves. It's so incredible to experience the love of the Father. And many people in this room have just felt that, and we begin to party. And I believe there are tens of thousands of lost sons and daughters in this region. Have a think about it. Do the maths. This city alone has over 40,000 people. Include Lithgow, 10, Blaney, 5, all the regions. 50, 60,000 people in this region. How many lost sons and daughters are there in our region who don't really know the embrace of God, who have taken the blessings of God and kind of squandered them, disconnected from God himself? But yet God's heart for them has not changed. He loves them dearly. But the reality kicks in. The world gets darker. People starting to feel the need. Start to look to eat the pods. But no one's giving them even the scraps. What's the trigger? Here's the question. It's a question I've wrestled through. What's the trigger? What does the Bible say was the turning point? Ah, that's right. Someone came along to the swinery and gave them a curious invitation card. It wasn't actually. Someone walked in and said, "Ah, you should know Jesus." Well, it wasn't actually. Now, this messes with my head, but it encourages me. Here's the reason. When he came to himself, he listened. You see it? When he came to himself, not when someone argued with them, when he came to himself. How's you chatting with people? Bill, I love your stories. Where's Bill gone? I love that, talking to the neighbors as you walk along. I've had a challenging week with these cards. I had them in pocket, invited the plumber, that was awesome. Hope he comes. I got chatting to my mechanic. He's a Land Rover freak. Showing me all his old restorations, amazing stuff. I'm in there. He's showing me all these things. And I am praying. I have this in my pocket. God, can you just show me have you ever been there? How do I insert this message into this conversation? I didn't. I felt horrible afterwards because I'd planned it. So I'm going to go and see Ben. I'm going to get sorted and I'm going to have a pocket and we're going to talk. And then the conversation is going to turn to things of God. And then, by the way, it didn't happen. It just didn't. I just could not find a sensible way to introduce, oh, by the way, would you like to come and see my workshop? I thought of that line afterwards. Where I said, thankfully, you didn't use it. You know how you think of all these conversations afterwards? You think, oh, why am I so thick? Why in the middle of the moment? Just, is it lack of boldness you're talking about? What is it? I genuinely struggle sometimes to make the connection. Some people, it's easy. Some people think, to be honest, I really think people need to come to their senses. Why did Jesus hang out with the people he did? Because they'd come to their senses. My life is a mess. Some part of my world needs fixing. I have no answers. I really think until people get to that point in some part of their world where they're challenged by life, we can invite who we like, and it probably just falls to the ground. Which is part of the reason why we sent 12,000 of these around the city. Surely somewhere in this city, there'll be somebody who just needs to come to their senses right now. I've only got a couple in my world that are like that. Most of my friends, kind of middle class, well-to-do, sufficient, thank you very much. Why would I need God in my life? So I'm being honest with you. How do we respond to that? It's hugely challenging, isn't it? This is what I think. I've got answers. I think it's prayer. I think it's prayer. Prayer and inviting and having around, but praying for people. Only God can really change hearts. Can I get some musos up on stage before we finish? Only God. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit can touch the hardest heart. The Holy Spirit can come into any moment. So I have my list here. Okay. Got one, two names to go. I've got my list of people that I've been praying for. It's Mark and Rob and Peter and Bex and Gil and Wayne. These are the people on my list that I'm praying for. And I'm praying that somewhere, somehow, in the middle of this week, that there's an opportunity. And I'll send messages and I'll invite. But it's got to be more than that. The Holy Spirit has to be working in people's hearts in order for them to come to their senses. That's what happened to the prodigal son. He reached the point where only he could do something. I've seen this work. I've had relationships which just have gone south and there's nothing I could do. But I prayed this, Lord, make them come to their senses. Make them come to their senses. And guess what? Eventually, turn that around. Bring them home. I think we can pray. That's why we're ramping up. Thanks, Rosemary, for your plug. We are ramping up prayer this week. Because I know I can pray. I know that. And just turning up to a prayer meeting. Lord, here's my people. Petition. My words, my conversations won't work. But Jesus, you can do amazing things. Let's pray every morning this week. Praying, fasting, add to that. Mel talked about it last week. Inviting at the right place at the right time. You just might meet somebody who's hungry. Be at the party. Don't be an older brother at the party. You know the older brother had a tantrum? And stay that side. Why is this dancing? What's this music all about? And he got angry at the father for inviting him. But come to the party. Come to the party and welcome people in. Nicely, don't freak people out. What was the new person? Five people. No, let's kind of just... early. Let's set the scene. There'd be some music on, Mr. Young. Some party music. Food, coffee. And help people reconnect. That I can do. Jesus, would you stand, please? We're going to pray. I'm so thankful for you, for the team at church, for running with this idea of curious, because I so believe in the message of Jesus, and I so believe that our world needs it right now, but I'm so convinced that our world mostly doesn't want it, but that's okay. But the Lord can use a church that's ready. So let's pray. I want you to lift up just in your heart all the people you've been praying for. Just think of your neighbors, your workmates, friends. Lord Jesus, right now, we're asking that you move across our networks, that people would come to know you, that people would become full of you, people would come to experience your love and return to you, just like the lost son. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful that you hang out with ordinary people. I'm so thankful that you're not worried about who you hang with. And Jesus, you set such an example for us. Help us push back against our own religious views and expectations. And Lord, let's enter into everybody's world. And Father, we simply pray that right across this region, those who have come to their senses would respond to you. They'd find you in their hour of need. And for the rest of their life, just fill with life, joy, and glory, that these people will be blessed. Jesus. Before we finish, in this room, maybe you're here and you're like that, and you've come here this morning even ahead of all this and going, I need that. I'm ready to return to Jesus. And I just want to give you an opportunity now. Just slip your hand up if you'd like me to pray for you after the service about coming to Jesus. As I'd love to do that. It's the best thing I'd do. To anyone who just wants to come to Jesus, come back and find your life in Him. You can come and chat to me after the service. I'd love to connect you. Jesus, so thankful. Thankful for your mission and for our part in it. You've included us in this world. Amen.
Hey, thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can download our church app to keep up to date with what's going on. And of course, if you're in the Bathurst area, we'd love you to pop in and say hello.
Wonderful. See you soon.